To recall, the Gemara had given three different approaches to the Amoraim as to how much of a gap there would have to be between the two schachs in order to be a sukkah tachas a sukkah, such that the bottom sukkah is going to be possible. Rav Huna holds it has to be a minimum of a tefach. Rav Chista and Rabbah bar Rav Huna hold that it has to be at least four tefachim, and Shmuel holds, which is the way we paskin, has to be at least ten tefachim. So Tosfos asks, presumably, since the Dir Maskel is on Rav Huna Tefach, that it's only on Rav Huna, but as we'll see in the continuation, it sounds like this kasha would apply to all three Amoraim. Avagavta l'kamon perek hayoshein, even though in the second perek of Beis Mebeis, Armin and Chavid Rami, hachalo shayich. So to recall, Tosis quoted this earlier on Tesla Mebeis as well, cross-reference to it, that there's a concept called Chavid Rami, where if you have schach that's on split levels, we have a schach on the bottom, schach on top, with airspace in between. So, and you don't have enough kosher schach in either one. So, we had two opinions. Baya had held there that if it's less than three tefachim apart, so we say lovud, and we combine the two schachs together. And Rava said, even if it's more than three tefachim, we say a concept called chavad rami, which is similar to gurasik, which is namely that we lower the roof, and therefore the two schachs can combine. Again, we mentioned earlier that there's a machlokis Rishonim, and from that to the poskim as to what the details are in terms of whether it has to fit into the jigsaw puzzle and whether it has to be a tefach down below, or it, we say chavad rami regardless. So Tosa's question is that why is there ever a psul of sukkah tachas ha-sukkah? Why don't we just apply Rava's rule of chavad rami, and therefore the two schachs will combine halachically, and therefore it will not be a sukkah tachas ha-sukkah, it will only be one sukkah. The question is further heightened because according to Rav Huna, who holds that the minimum gap between the sukkahs in order to already qualify as a psul of sukkah tachas sukkah is a tefach. So that would be a problem, not only according to Rava, who says chavad rami, but even according to Abaye, who holds that less than three tefachim, we would combine the schachs together. So here for Rav Huna, you have less than three tefachim because it's only a tefach between the two schachs. That second kasha within the view of Abaye wouldn't be relevant to the other two views of four tefachim and ten tefachim. But either way, Tosfos asks some Chavad Rami, which is the view of Rava, and he asks it on Rav Huna, who says Tefach. So, didn't see any of the Achronim address this, but presumably we should read the Tosfos as Omer Rav Huna Tefach v'chule, meaning that there are three positions here, Tefach, four Tefachim, ten Tefachim, but all of them we should be able to apply Chavad Rami, so it's not presumably just a question of Rav Huna, but Rav Huna and all the Amoraim here, why don't we say Chavad Rami? And Tosfos mysteriously says, Hacha lo shayach, that here that concept of Chavad Rami is just not relevant. So that leaves the Achronim scrambling as to what exactly is the intention of Tosis and why is it not relevant here. So I'll just briefly mention what I've seen in terms of three different approaches that are given. One approach is given by the Maharam in the back of the Gemara, that since the two schachs are complete, that's the classic model of a sukkah tachas a sukkah, where the bottom sukkah has silsimru mechamsa, and the top sukkah has tzilsimru mechamsa, so they're two complete sikuchs. So on that, we don't say chavad rami of the top layer. When you have a complete schach, we do not lower it like that. The time that Gemara said chavad rami in Chav Beis Mebeis, in the second parak, is when the two schachs are incomplete. What's relevant to us is that the schach on top is incomplete, and that incomplete schach, it's like pieces in a certain sense, can be lowered halachically through the idea of chavad rami. But if you have an entire roof, an entire sikuch representing the top layer, we would not apply the rule of chavad rami. This is the view of the Maharam. Other achronim don't understand why that should be true. And even though Tosis on the Tesma Beis also applied chavad rami, but we noted that there he was dealing with two schachs, each of which were chamsa meruva mitzilsa, where there was more sun than shade, so they're not complete schach. So the top schach is certainly not complete, and therefore Tosis maintained that you do apply chavad rami. But here, where the top schach is still some rumi chamsa, it's more shade than sun, we wouldn't apply. That's presumably the way the Maharam would distinguish between that which Tosis and Tesfos Beis wanted to apply chavad rami, and here where we don't apply it. Two other answers that I've seen is the Aruch HaNeret suggests that the only time you say chavad rami is where there's airspace on the bottom, so it fits into the puzzle, which is a consistent view of the Rambam. The problem is that other Rishonim hold you don't need that, and therefore the Maharam presumably was trying to explain the Tosis not in accordance with that view, especially since some poskim assume that Rashi and Tosis, as we briefly mentioned earlier on Tesma Beis, that they hold that you apply Chavad Rami even if there's no airspace on the bottom. And then I saw in the notes from Rav Eliashiv, the somewhat opposite of the Maharam, that it's not a matter of whether the schach on top is complete, but it's a matter of whether the schach on the bottom is complete. The classic model of sukkah tachas sukkah is where you have a schach on the bottom that's silsim ru mechamsa, and you have a schach on the top that's also silsim ru mechamsa. But the schach on the bottom is, since it's silsim ru mechamsa, so it's a totally complete schach, and it doesn't need any other schach in order to kosherize it. So it says Rav Eliashiv that then we don't apply the halacha mashmi sinai chavad rami, because chavad rami is only stated when you need to be mashlim achaser, and you have to complete that which is lacking. But here there's nothing lacking, so we don't apply chavad rami. So since we don't apply chavad rami, we're stuck with two schachs with a significant divider in between, whatever that divider is, a space of a tefach, four tefachim, ten tefachim, depending on the shittas. And therefore, we do not apply chavad rami. Either way, we see that the halacha of sukkah tachas sukkah, which is pasul, clearly is not allowing chavad rami to operate. Tosfos again doesn't explain why; it just says it's not shaykh, and the various different approaches we presented are trying to explain why that is. The Divrei Maskil of Tosfos is going on the words of Rav Chisda and Rabba Bar Rav Huna, that the shear in between the two sikuchs, in order to disqualify a sukkah tachas a sukkah, is four tefachim. The Gemara gives the explanation, because we never found a makom less than four tefachim. So Tosis quotes Rashi, Hainu le'inyan rishus hayachid v'karmlis ki depiris b'kuntris. As Rashi explained that concerning rishus hayachid, the minimum dimensions of the width and the length of rishus hayachid are 4 by 4 tefachim. It happens to be by 10 tefachim tall for rishus hayachid. And the same is true for a karmlis. It has to be at least 4 by 4 tefachim wide, except with a karmelis, since it's not a rishus hayachid, so we're dealing with less than 10 tefachim. So where does the 4 by 4 tefachim come from? Because that is the shir mokom, the least area that is called a place, whether it's a rishus hayachid or a karmelis, a totally private domain or a semi-private domain, is a rough English translation is utilized for that, even though Rosh Hashayachid doesn't necessarily have to be private, it's just to be surrounded by walls, but the walls create a certain privacy, in a sense, that they block out the outsiders. So that's called the Shir Makom. So here too, the divider between the two schachs has to be relevant to the Shir Makom. So what seems to motivate the rest of the Tosfos is that is a Shir Makom concerning width and length, but here we're dealing with a Shir concerning height. So why should the Shir Makom necessarily be relevant concerning this? So Tosfos points out that even concerning height, we also find that. We had discussed in an earlier Tosfos a few daf back that when you have a divider between two rishuyos, so then each area, if it has multiple batim inside of it, they have to make their own Erev, because there's a divider, an impenetrable wall. And if there's no divider between, then they have to make an Erev together. They cannot make separate Erevin. But if, on the other hand, there's a divider between them and there's the halachic equivalent of a Pesach between them, where there's access between them, then they have a choice. On the one hand, there's a divider so that they could make two separate Erevin. On the one hand, there's access so they could join to have one Erev. So one of the things that could serve as a point of access is a 4 tefach high chalon. So, as in the words of Tosfos, lechoshev kepesach, in order to be considered an opening, it has to be a minimum height of 4 tefachim, and that already is considered, as long as it's below 10 tefachim, so that is already considered access. So here we find also in the height of the relevance of 4 tefachim. So that is mashlim, and completes that which is lacking in just Rashi's interpretation of being a shir makom in the width and the length, because we see that 4 tefachim is also relevant in height as well. Taisus Divrei Maskil Peiros Alei Asadim Mipnei Chama. To recall, the Mishnah had taught that if one spreads a sheet on top of the sukkah to protect from the sun, or underneath the schach in order to protect from leaves falling, so the sukkah is psula. Rav Chisda qualified that that's only true when you're doing so in order to protect from the sun or the leaves. But if one is spreading it for beauty, for decoration purposes, then osa, so then it's kosher. So the topic of Tosis is to quote two views, which are three. One view, it splits into two, and the third being Rashi's view, as to exactly the case that the Mishnah and the Gemara are talking about. To recall, Rashi had explained Kipshuto that Mipnei Achama means to protect the ones who are inside the sukkah from the heat of the sun. And Mipnei Hanishar, or Hanesher, is to protect the ones inside from the leaves falling into their food or the disturbing their sleep, etc. So Tosis, as we shall see, is going to quote two other Pirushim, which are related, and then he's going to show why he doesn't think that Rashi's Pshat is the correct understanding. Tosis begins, Kosev b'tshuvas ha-gaonim, it's written in the tshuvas of the gaonim, the response of the gaonim, Hadik tani, peiras ale asadun, ipnei hachamo, tachteam, ipnei hanashar. That which it states in the Mishnah, that you spread out the sheet because of the sun, or underneath it because of the leaves, psula, that it's puzzle. Hecha dechamsam ruv mitzilsa. Here's the main chiddush of the Gaonim, that the case at hand is where it's more sun than shade. Not the simple understanding that we're dealing with regular kosher schach, that's tzilsam ruv mitzilsa, but rather that the schach is deficient and there's more sun than shade. Below sadin, Tos continues, without the sheet. And it's only because of the sheet that you have tzilsa meruv mechamsa. So there it's puzzle, because you're starting with schach that's insufficient, and it's only the schach that's not kosher, the sadin, that's a din beged, and is makabel tuma, and is certainly not kosher for schach. So that is mashlim to tzilsa meruv mechamsa, and therefore it is puzzle. Aval, continue the gaonim, im yesh tzilsa meruv mechamsa, if the underlying schach kosher, before you put the sadin on already has tzilsam ruv mechamsa, more shade than sun. Kshera, it's kosher. Ve'ena sadin posalta, and the sheet will not disqualify the sukkah in any circumstances. Not only in the case where you stretch it out lena'osa for the decorative purposes in the sukkah, but even where it's to protect from the sun or the falling leaves. So Tos explain that what is the basis of that gaonic view? After all, even if the sukkah is already a kosher sukkah of tzilsam ruv mechamsa, but the sadin is not kosher schach, so how could you put posel schach on top of or underneath kosher schach and it still be kosher? So Tos explains, v'hainu kemo shepirashti le'el. This is in accordance with the view that was explicated and explained earlier by Tosis on Tesmah Beis, the ein mitztarev schach posel b'hadei schach kosher, that posel schach does not combine with kosher schach in a situation where, Ketosis continue, kevin develop psul tzilsa meruba. Since even without the posel schach, there still would be more shade than sun. So therefore, the posel schach, we say the svara something along the lines of dalmeyacha, remove it from there. It's as if it's not there. And therefore, since you have a sheer hechsher, you already have enough kosher schach without it. So the posel schach is not going to impact upon the kashrus of the sukkah. To recall, Tosa said that in a case where you had a tree that is chamsam ruv mitzilsa, where the sun is more than the shade, and underneath you had a sukkah that is tzilsam ruv mechamsa, where is more shade than sun. So the simplest reading of the Gemara on Testament base would have been that indeed is a problem, and that's what the Gemara calls kamitz tarev schach posel badei schach kosher. And Tosa understood that that can't be the case that the Gemara is talking about, because once you have a sheer hechsher, a totally kosher amount of schach, of tzilsam ruv mechamsa, of more shade than sun, so the posel schach of the tree is not going to disqualify the underlying kosher schach. But only in a case where the underlying kosher schach is chamsam ruv mechamsa, so it's not already kosher on its own, and you're going to need the posel schach in order to cross over the boundary of tzilsam ruv mechamsa, so then we say, kamitz tarev, schach posel badei schach kosher, and then it's posel, just as we would say that concerning the case of the tree, if the underlying schach were more sun than shade. So we'd say it here too, concerning the sheet, where if the underlying schach has chamsam ruv mechamsa, and only then is going to be posel. But if it's tzilsam ruv mechamsa, regardless of whether it's put there to protect from the sun or the falling leaves, and certainly for lanosa, it'll be totally kosher. Now, we note, before we continue in the Tosis, that there's a blatant kasha on this sheet of the Gaonim as it's presented, because since the Gaonim given Okimta that this Gemara is talking about Chamsa Meruv Mitzilsa, and that's where we say that if it's because of the sun or because of the leaves, Mipnei Chama, Mipnei Anishar, that then it's puzzle, and we understand why it's puzzle, because then that which is taking it over the boundary of Tzilsam Ruv Mechamsa is only in combination with Chach puzzle. But Rav Chista points out that if it's spread out for decorative purposes on a osa, so then it's kosher. So that's what the Rosh and others ask on this view of the Gaonim, how could that be? But if it's Chamsam Ruv Mechamsa without enough kosher Chach, so granted that spreading out a sheet, lina osa, for beautification purposes of the sukkah is not going to disqualify the schach, but it shouldn't qualify the schach. If you don't have enough kosher schach, you don't have tzilsim rumi chamsa, how could the decorative sheet fill in to make tzilsim rumi chamsa? But the decorative sheet is not kosher schach. So even if it doesn't disqualify, because it's not there to protect from the sun, and as the Rishonim explained, that decorations are considered secondary to the sukkah and they're bottled to the sukkah, okay, but you still need enough kosher schach, and if you don't have enough kosher schach, it's chamsa rumi tzilsa, so how could the sukkah be kosher as is without adding more kosher schach? This is a blatant kasha on the Shittas HaGaonim, which Bez Hashem, after we finish the Taisis, we'll try to come back to address in various different ways. Taisis continue, uch'inyan zeh mefarash Rabbeinu Tam. In a similar way, Rabbeinu Tam presents his view, the fact that Tosis start with the Tshuva Sagaonim, and then they say, similarly, Rabbeinu Tam presented his view, sounds like that it's not exactly the Shita Sagaonim, it's just along the same pathway, namely in contrast to Rashi. As we mentioned earlier, that Tosis presents three views, the first two views are in the same camp, basically saying that we're dealing with something having to do with Chamsa Rumi Silsa, and then Rashi is dealing with even a case of total Silsa Rumi Chamsa. So, but it sounds like, again, from the presentation of Tosis, and it's certainly what the Rosh held, that these are two different views, but within the same family of approaches. Because of the sun, why are you putting it there? So to recall, Rashi had explained that you're putting it there to prevent the sun from making the people inside uncomfortable. Ben Atam explains that, no, that's not why you're putting it there, but it's going to dry out the schach. And mitoch kach, as a result of the sun drying out the schach, hayanase chamsa meruba. It would cause the kosher schach to drop from starting off as silsam rubi chamsa, which according to Ben Tam it starts out as, and then it's going to shift to be chamsa meruba, more sun than shade. How so? Either by the shrinkage of the leaves, it's going to cause more sun than shade, or that the sun will dry out the leaves and then cause them to fall. So either way, as it is, without spreading out a sheet, it currently has silsam rumi chamsa, but over time, the sun will cause it to be chamsam rumi silsa. Tosas continue from Rabbeinu Tam. V'chein tachtea, when you spread the sheet underneath, mipnei anashar, because of the leaves, can he have dropping leaves that are going to drop even without the sun? V'mhoyu olin noshrin, and if those leaves are going to drop, haya chamsam meruba. Once again, the falling leaves will cause the sukkah that currently has silsam rumi chamsa, which and its current state, seemingly it's kosher, but it's going to become, over time, on its own, chamsa meruba. So therefore, you put out the sheet, Tos continue, v'asadin mona on milipo, and the sheet prevents them from falling. Prevents the sun from shrinking the leaves, either that itself is going to cause it chamsa meruba silsa, or from shrinking and then dropping, and by putting it underneath, you're going to prevent the leaves, which will fall even without the sun, from falling. V'chevan shasadin gorem, shel yodo, since it is only the sheet that is causing the preservation of the silsa merumichamsa, again, starts out more shade than sun, but the sun and the dropping leaves are going to cause it over time to become chamsa merumichilsa. So by the sheet, you engage in a preventive measure to make sure it maintains its silsa merumichamsa. So Tos explains that since chayvin shasad and garam shal yodo silsa merumichamsa, puzzle, that is disqualified. Tos doesn't explain exactly why. So the other Rishonim, a quote Rabbeinu Tam, both the Sefer Yosher, which was written by the students of Rabbeinu Tam, or in the Mordechai, Yireim, the Smag. So the way they present Rabbeinu Tam is this, they use either a language of the sheet is mekayim the kosher schach, and the Sefer Yosher actually says it's ma'amid the kosher schach. So why should that be a problem? Right now, it's still simru mechamsa. So the fact that it preserves it, so why should that automatically disqualify it? If you already have reached the point where, let's say you put a sheet underneath and the leaves are already beginning to fall and it's only the sheet that's holding them up, okay, so that's kind of artificial. And it's only because of the sheet that they didn't fall to the ground. But the direct implication of the Gemara, according to Ben Tam, is that the minute you spread out the sheet under the leaves, the minute you spread out the sheet on top of it to prevent the sun from shrinking the leaves, it's right away puzzle, even though right now no shrinkage has occurred, and even though right now no leaves have yet fallen. Why should that be? So again, the language of the Rishonim is because it's Mekayim or it's Mamid. It stands it up, and preserves it. So why is that a psul? So at first glance, this is reminiscent of the famous shita of Rabbi Yehuda. On Chaf Aleph and Beis, the Gemara discusses that if you put schach on top of a bed frame, and the bed frame, of course, is makabel tuma, so Chachamim say that that is valid, as long as you have 10 tvachim between the schach and the bed, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it is invalid. So one reason that's given among two for why Rabbi Yehuda holds that that sukkah is invalid is because of ma'amid bedavar ha-makabel tuma, because the bed is susceptible to tuma, and as such, it itself would be possible to schach. So not only does schach have to be kosher, but that which supports the schach also has to be kosher. Then the Gemara gives another explanation why Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies. And the Chachamim hold that no, there is no such psul of ma'amid bedavar ha-makabel tuma. The schach has to be kosher, but the supports of the schach do not have to be kosher. So, very famously, this is a machlokas poskim as to whether we are choshesh for the view of Rabbi Yehuda, but whether ma'amid bedavar ha-makabel tuma is a problem or not, lechatchila, we indeed are choshesh for that opinion. So at first glance, it sounds like the distosis is going with the approach of Rabbi Yehuda. And that since ma'amid bedavar makabel tuma is possible, so you could have a ma'amid that it supports the schach, and you could have a ma'amid that over time it will shrink and fall, or shrink or fall, or just fall, in the case of Nishar, and the makabel tuma item here, in this case the sadin, is preventing it from doing that, so it's ma'amid. And since it's ma'amid, it is possible. That's what at first glance it sounds like Tosis is driving at. But speaking to a big Talmud Chacham in the neighborhood, Rameir Marilis, Shlita, pointed out that that would be difficult to say in this Tosis, to say that our Mishnah and Rav Chisda are automatically taking sides, according to Bein HaTam, on that Machlokis Tanoim, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, especially since there are two opinions within Rabbi Yehuda. Not everyone holds that Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies the schach on top of the bed because of Ma'amid Bedavar Makabel Tuma. Some say it's another reason. So to say that that's what Bein HaTam means, it would be somewhat difficult. So, again, Rav Marilis suggested, as a wonderful pshat, that on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, we have the following Gemara that tells us that if you have schach that's made out of vegetables, which indeed are not kosher for schach, because they theoretically could be mekabel tuma, if those vegetables would shrink and then fall, so even though right now they didn't fall yet, so we don't view it as pasul schach, where the shear of disqualification is 4 tvachim. We view it as airspace, where the shear of disqualification is 3 tvachim. In other words, that which it's going to do in the future, namely fall, we view it as if it already happened. The Ran explains that that same idea of the fact that schach falling in the future causing a problem, therefore we view it as if it is problematic already now, that's true not only with pasul schach in terms of whether the shear for it is 4 tvachim or 3 tvachim, it's true with totally kosher schach, that if right now you have more shade than sun, and over time, as a result of shrinkage, the schach will become less than tzilsa meruv mechamsa, it'll become chamsa meruv mitzilsa. So right now, it's possible also that we view it as if that which is going to occur already has occurred. The poskim have a debate whether that is possible min haTorah or midah Rabbanan. But possible it is. Again, sidebar, the Be'er Halach has a suffix whether we actually pass like that Ran's extension, but simply speaking, we should. The same concept. So based on that, we could explain that that's what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Not necessarily dependent on the view of Ma'amid B'davar Makabel Tuma. We start with a case where you have Schach, and you have the hot sun, and that is going to cause the Schach to dry out and therefore become Chamsa Rumit Silsa. Or you have leaves that are prone to fall, and that is going to cause Chamsa Rumit Silsa. Right now, you have more shade than sun. You have Silsa Rumit Chamsa. But because eventually it's going to be Chamsa Rumit Silsa, so right now, you have a pasul sukkah, even though it's not yet more sun than shade, because we follow the future. And right now, it's pasul as well, that the schach has to be able to last for presumably a full 7 days. And if it's not going to last for a full 7 days, it's pasul. So now, you are now making it kosher by putting the sheet there. You are preserving the fact that it's always going to be tzilsa meruv mechamsa. So that, perhaps, that's what Rabbeinu Tam is driving at. That's worse than ma'amid. Ma'amid is where you take totally kosher schach, and its support, that which keeps it up in the air, is things that are makabel tuma. So that's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, and even a machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda, whether that is problematic for that reason or for some other reason in terms of the case of the bed. But if you start with a case where the schach is pasul, because even though it's kosher material, but since it's going to shrink, so therefore it's pasul already now. So now you're making it kosher via something that is makabel tuma. So that is going to disqualify, Rabbeinu Tam maintains, according to everybody. So again, just to put things in perspective, we noted earlier that Tosfos say that Rabbeinu Tam's understanding is ke'inyan ha-ga'onim, but it sounds like it's not identical with the ga'onim. So to contrast, according to the ga'onim, the simple reading is we're dealing with a case of actual chamsa merub mitzilsa in the present. And that's where we say that if you're doing it to shade from the, to protect from the sun or the nishar or the leaves falling, then it's possible, and if it's falan osa, then it's kosher. Notwithstanding the difficulty we raised on that earlier in terms of why lan osa is kosher if it's chamsa merub mitzilsa. According to Rabbeinu Tam, currently it is silsa merub mitzilsa. It does have more shade than sun, but what the sheet is doing, the sadan is doing, is preventing it from becoming chamsa merub mitzilsa. So now Tosfos quote Rashi, and they ask a kash on it. Avala pirish hakuntris. But according to the interpretation of Rashi, again, Rashi interprets everything kipshuto, that we're dealing with silsa merub mitzilsa, like Rabbeinu Tam. But we're not dealing with a case where the sun is going to cause it to become chamsa merub mitzilsa, or that the falling leaves are going to cause it to be chamsa merub mitzilsa. But rather, kipshuto, the sun is beating down on the people in the sukkah, and it's uncomfortable, and people want to put up a sadin in order to protect from the sun, because the schach is not blocking from the sun enough. And the same with the leaves. You want to prevent the leaves from falling. So on that, Tosfos asks, Kasha, it's difficult. The lama yipasel, mipnei megan ala adam mipnei chama. Why should it be possible? Because it protects the person from the sun, umena kismin, and from the splinters, the leaves that are falling. Maishna milana osa. How is that different from beautification and decoration of the sukkah? So lechora, what Tosfos is driving at is that anything that is there for the functionality or the enhancement of the sukkah is considered secondary to the sukkah. So whether the enhancement is a decorative enhancement, or whether the enhancement is to provide more comfort for the inhabitants of the sukkah, that there shouldn't be as much sun, that there shouldn't be leaves falling in, so that should be secondary to the sukkah, and therefore shouldn't be considered schach puzzle in the classic sense, and therefore disqualify the sukkah. So that is a kasha from Svara. Now Tosfos is a kasha from Gemara. We find later in the second parak on the Chavzayin Rebbeis, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi, concerning the Tana Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi, some of the gears of there, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Loi, Kishigia Chama Lamargalosav, that when the sun reached his feet, Amaru Peira Salav Sadin. So then he took a sheet and put it on top in order to protect from the sun. The case there is that Rabbi Eliezer Agodal, the famous Tana, was visiting the Sukkah of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Loi in the Galil. And Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Loi wanted to know, he asked the Shaila from Rabbi Eliezer, since he saw the sun coming, can we spread out a sheet? So Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer. He gave a shear on something having to do with Nach. And the Gemara explains he wasn't stam trying to avoid him. He just didn't want to answer the kasha because Rabbi Eliezer had a view that he wouldn't say anything he didn't hear from his Rebbein. So Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Loi kept asking him, and Rabbi Eliezer kept digressing into some other discourse. So then when the sun already reached the feet of Rabbi Eliezer, he didn't want the great Tana to get hot in the sun, so on his own he put the sheet out, and then Rabbi Eliezer unceremoniously left the sukkah because he didn't want to go on record as agreeing to that behavior. So the Gemara explains that the issue there is Tosefes Ohel Arai, that you're adding a temporary addition to a tent, and whether that's Asar or Mutter, a question in Hilchas Shabbos / Yom Tov in terms of Malacha, whether it's a problem or bone. So Tosfos is implicitly pointing out, but wait a second, but if you're going to put up the sheet because of the sun, you're going to disqualify the sukkah. So doesn't that show that we must be dealing with a case where it's a kosher sukkah, it's more shade than sun, and we're not dealing with a case where the sun is going to cause the leaves to dry out and as a result become chamsa or mitzilsa. So putting up the sheet is no problem. From the perspective of Hilchas Sukkah, even though it might have been a problem in terms of Malacha, Bona, related to Ohel, concerning Hilchas Yom Tov and Shabbos. So that's Akasha and Rashi's understanding that even where everything's okay, if it's still some room in Chamsa, nothing's wrapping, that putting up the sheet is a problem. In resolution to these two Kashas and Rashi, so the Achronim, and with a little bit of our own, we could suggest the following. In terms of the first Kasha, which is one of Svara, that what is the distinction between Lina Osa and Mipnei Achama Umin HaKismin? This is all part of functionality and enhancement of the experience in the sukkah, so shouldn't that all be called an osa and therefore be secondary to the sukkah? So the answer seems to be given by Rashi himself, and that is that the definition of schach is protection. The language of Rashi, lehagein, just as we had the pasuk quoted by Rabbi Zeira and the Beis Amud Aleph, v'sukkah tiyeh letzel yomom mechorev, lemachzor, ulemistor, mizerem u'mimotor, that what does the sukkah do? It protects from chorev, from heat, from the sun, and it protects from zera mata, protects from the rain. So when you are putting a sadin out to protect from the sun, or you're putting the protection from the leaves, that's also protection that it shouldn't fall on you. So that's called schach. So if it's called schach, so even though you have schach kosher, but Rashi holds that schach puzzle is a problem. And Tosis earlier pointed out, but once you already have kosher schach of tzilsim rumi chamsa, so no schach puzzle is going to be a problem. So we were medaik earlier in our analysis of Tosis Testament base, contrasting with Rashi, that Rashi seems to hold that that svar is not true. That anytime you have a case of schach puzzle that combines with schach kosher, and the area that the schach puzzle is covering is automatically called disqualified. So if you don't have a remaining area that's not covered by the schach puzzle, that's enough to make the sukkah kosher. So then it's puzzle. By contrast, when it's lenaosa, so Rashi points out that that's not called schach, because there you're putting it out not to protect, but rather to beautify. So that's not called schach, because it's not there to protect from the elements or from the leaves. This answer seems to be indicated by Rabbeinu Peretz, quoted by the Mordechai, who in answer to what all the Rishonim ask on Rashi, that we don't really have a good reason to distinguish between the case of protecting from falling leaves and lenaosa, isn't it all for enhancement of the sukkah? So Rabbeinu Peretz gives a somewhat cryptic idea that when it's protecting from leaves, that's the tzorach ha'adam. And when it's for decorative purposes, that's the tzorach ha'sukkah. So perhaps what he's driving at is exactly what we said. The tzorach ha'sukkah means it's not called schach, because it's not protecting the person. And therefore, it is bottled to the sukkah. And it's not considered an independent entity of schach. To protect the person, exactly, that's what schach does, to protect the person. And therefore it's called schach puzzle. And schach puzzle, according to Rashi, is a problem when it combines even with a total shear of schach kosher. In answer to the second question that Tosis asks from Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Loi, in his interchange with Rabbi Eliezer, one could perhaps suggest simply that according to Rashi, in Achinami, when you put a sadin on top of a sukkah in order to protect from the sun, the sukkah is psula. But Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Loi felt that the sun was so hot that there would be a ptur of mitzdayer. We know that a mitzdayer is someone who's in distress in the sukkah, either due to the rain or insects or extreme cold or sun, is potter from the sukkah. So Tosis is understanding that the sun did not reach the degree of mitzdayer, and therefore we would have to assume that it would still be a kosher sukkah because there wouldn't be a ptur to go out. But perhaps Rashi assumes that the sun was so hot that there would be a ptur of mitzdayer. And Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Loi, for whatever reason, didn't want to go into the house. He still wanted to stay in the sukkah. Therefore, he was asking, is it a problem of malacha? But midin the sukkah, he wasn't concerned because he knew that he would be potter. And in Achinami, that sitting in such a sukkah would be possible, according to Rashi. Before I conclude the Tosis, let us just go back to answer some of the questions that can be raised on the Tosis. So we had raised earlier a question concerning the Shitas HaGaonim, that how could they say that Chamsa Merubah Mitzilsa is kosher if you spread out a sadin lenaosa? So before we come to answer that, let us address a question concerning the explanation that Tosis give for the view of the Gaonim, which at first glance also seems to be the explanation of the view of Rabbeinu Tam. For the Rishonim and the Achronim had the following kasha. Tosis had presented that the basis of the Svaras HaGaonim, that when you have Tzilsa Meruvah Mechamsa, that there's no way that the Sadin could disqualify it. The reason is that we say Dal Meocha. You have Kosher Schach, and the addition of Pasul Schach is not going to disqualify the Sukkah, as Tosis alluded to what he wrote earlier on Testament Beis, K'moshe Pirashi Leil, that you don't say the Svara of Schach Pasul joining with Schach Kosher if you have sufficient Schach without the Schach Pasul. We ignore the Schach Pasul. Simply speaking, Rabbeinu Tam, who gave a somewhat different pshat from the Gaonim, not that we're dealing with Chamsa Rumi Tzilsa in the Mishnah, but we're actually dealing with Tzilsa Rumi Chamsa that might shrink to become Chamsa Rumi Tzilsa. But Rabbeinu Tam, as is true for the Gaonim, right, they all agree that if you have Tzilsa Rumi Chamsa and there's no danger of shrinkage, of a falling leaves that are going to cause Chamsa Rumi Tzilsa, that the Sadin will never disqualify. Simply speaking, agreeing to that reason, because once you have Schach Kosher, you say Dal Meocha, you ignore the Pasul Schach. The problem the Rishonim ask is, again, just to mention one Mefarish who asked the Kasha the Marsha, but how could that be? Earlier in the Sugya of Sukkah Tachas Ilan, so a careful analysis of the Tosis there would lead to the following conclusion, and we presented that when we presented that Tosis on Testament base. The concept of Mitzdarev Schach Posel Bahadei Schach Kosher is one of two possible problems. When you have an underlying Schach of Chamsa Merubah Mitzilsa, and you have an upper schach of Chamsa Meruv Mitzilsa. And the upper schach, for some reason, is going to disqualify, either because it's an Elon, or because it's some kind of other schach puzzle. So there we're going to say that you cannot kosherize the schach below, which is Chamsa Meruv Mitzilsa, and bring it over the boundary to Silsa Meruv Mitzilsa with schach puzzle. But if, on the other hand, the schach below is Silsa Meruv Mitzilsa, so then Tosfos maintain that the Chamsa Meruv Mitzilsa schach puzzle up above is not going to disqualify, because we say Dal Me'acha, you have enough schach kosher without it, so the schach above is not going to disqualify. But in a case where the schach above that's puzzle is Silsa Meruv Mitzilsa, if you have a case of an Elon, that's Silsa Meruv Mitzilsa, so that's a separate psul. That's a psul of Sukkah Tachas Elon. Not because it's schach puzzle, but per se, but there's a drasha. But Sukkah's Teshuvu, you have to sit in a Sukkah, in the tzeil of the schach kosher. And it can't be a schach tachas ha'ilan. And it can't be a schach tachas ha'bayis. And it can't even be a sukkah tachas ha'sukkah, where the schach on top is kosher schach. The common denominator between all those three, of ilan, bayis, and sukkah, is, as we mentioned earlier in the previous taisis of Testament Beis, that is a shame sikuch. It's called a rooftop, so to speak, because it has silsim rumi chamsa. The majority of shade is called sikuch. So we learn from the psukim that you're not allowed to have a sukkah underneath another sikuch, whether that sikuch is an ilan or a bayis, or whether that sikuch is even another sukkah. So that idea of not being able to have two sikuchs, that's an independent psul that is not related to this idea of schach posel mitztaref ba'adei schach kosher. So even though Tosfos and Testament Beis maintain that idea of tziruf, of combining the posel and the kosher, is only a problem when the kosher does not have enough schach, it's only chamsa mitzilsa, but the Tosfos would agree that if you have a problem of the more fundamental idea of two sikuchs, where the top sikuch is silsam rumichamsa, so then the fact that the bottom schach also has silsam rumichamsa is not going to save you. In short, when you have a schach kosher underneath another kind of schach, which is defined as silsam rumichamsa, it's puzzle whether that schach is an ilan or a bias or even another kosher schach. So how could Tosfos say, ask the Rishonim, the Achronim, again the Marsha specifically, in order to resolve the Shitas of Gaonim, which on a simple level is what Rabbeinu Tam is driving at also, that once you have kosher schach down below at Silsim Rumi Chamsa, no posel schach on top is going to disqualify it, but the Sadin, which is posel schach, because it's a beged, it's makabel tumah, is certainly Silsim Rumi Chamsa also. And since it is Silsim Rumi Chamsa also, isn't that a problem of something along the lines of Sukkah Tachas Ha'ilon? Just like an Ilan is Schach Puzzle, that's Silsim Rumi Chamsa. So the Sadin is Schach Puzzle, that's Silsim Rumi Chamsa. And even though, to add, a Sukkah Tachas Ha'sukkah, we learned earlier, according to the accepted opinion of Shmuel, requires a gap of 10 Tvachim. And here, presumably, we don't have a gap of 10 Tvachim between the Schach and the Sadin. But, as the Marsha points out at length, and is also pointed out by the Be'er Halacha, quoting the Marsha, that when it comes to a Sukkah Tachas Ha'ilan, the shear of 10 Tvachim is not required. And even having any kind of Sukkah Tachas Ha'ilan, even if there's a tiny gap, it's still a problem. And presumably the same should apply to any kind of Schach Basel, such as the Sadin. So how could Tosfos apply this rule that we don't say the idea of Schach Basel joining Schach Kosher when the underlying Schach Kosher has enough of Tzilsim Rumi Chams on its own? But Lechora, here you have another problem of Schach Tachas HaSchach. Schach Tachas HaSchach Puzzle, where the Schach Puzzle has a shame sikuch with the Silsim Rumi Chamsa. This is the kasha that many ask. So in answer to this question, just wanted to present quickly three answers. Answer number one, which is perhaps the simplest answer within Rabbeinu Tam, even though it's not going to work for the way Tosfos present and explain the Gaonin, is that Rabbeinu Tam is not going with the approach of the idea of the fact of Dal Mihacha, that when you have schach puzzle, it doesn't join with the schach kosher because you ignore the schach puzzle because you have enough schach kosher. To recall, earlier we were medayik from Rabbeinu Tam at the end of the Tosfos and Testament Beis, that he doesn't hold that klal, where Rabbeinu Tam said that if you have schach that's higher than 20 amis, the only reason it's not going to disqualify the schach below, assuming that up top it's chamsa rumi tzilsa, is because schach above 20 amis is not called schach puzzle. It's just the mokom, the place where it is, that causes it to be disqualified, but it doesn't have a shame schach puzzle. But had it had a shame schach puzzle, then it would disqualify the area down below. And it sounds like Rabbeinu Tam, we don't say Dal Mihacha. So the simplest shot of Rabbeinu Tam would be that exactly the reason they argue on Rashi is why they hold what they hold. What was the reason they argued on Rashi? Because they maintain that to shield from the sun or to shield from falling leaves, assuming it's going to maintain its status of Silsa and Mechamsa, even without the sheet, is the equivalent of Linosa, because it all enhances the sukkah, so it's all secondary to the sukkah, and it's not called the separate schach. So that not only serves as a kasha and rashi, it also serves as a svara for why we would say that it's good. The Deva doesn't have to get involved in that idea of tseruf. That's one possible approach of Rabbeinu Tam. Of course, they're not going to explain the way Tos explained the Gaonim, because the Tosis explicitly bring up that svara of the fact that we don't combine schach pasul with schach kosher when you have underlying schach kosher that's still some Rami Chamsa. That Torah is not going to work for them. So within the Shitas HaGa'inim, and it's also possible to say it's Rabbeinu Tam, once you already have that approach, it's possible to say, and this is what the Ran states, that Rabbeinu Tam apparently was on file as saying, even though Tosis doesn't quote him as saying that, but the Ran had a tradition that's what Rabbeinu Tam said, that even within the higher level psul, Sukkah Tachas HaIlan, it depends what came first. If the Ilan came first, so then putting a sukkah underneath is going to be disqualified, even if the sukkah underneath has Silsim Rumichamsa, but if the Ilan up above has Silsim Rumichamsa and it's called the Shem Sikuch, then it's a problem, because you came into the Ilan's turf. But if, on the other hand, you built the sukkah, and then the Ilan grew,
perhaps more relevant in the case of a tree growing so quickly, because you're not dealing with miraculous trees,
is if you have a sukkah, and then you place a vine on top of it, so that's a Mishnah later. The Ran quotes this both on our Mishnah and the Mishnah later about Hidla Leas HaGefen, that there, the only time that will be a problem is if the Gefen was already on top before you put on the Kosher Schach. But if you first put on the Kosher Schach and then you put on the Gefen, or then theoretically, miraculously, the tree grew, or you planted a tree and then it caused its shade to spread over the Sukkah, so then that would be kosher, because the Elon, so to speak, came into the turf of the Sukkah. So what we have Rabbeinu Tam on file is saying, as quoted by the Ran, is that even the psul of Sukkah Tachas HaIlan, or by extension, Sukkah Tachas some other Schach Puzzle, like the Sadin, that will only be a problem when the Schach Puzzle was there first. So here it works out very nicely. In the case of Sukkah Tachas HaIlan, the standard case is where the Elon was there first. Therefore it's Puzzle, regardless of how much Schach is down below. In the case of the Sadin, the standard case, where you first built the Sukkah with the Kosher Schach, Tzilsim Rumi Chamsa, and assuming we're dealing with a case where it's not going to fall as it is, so then putting the Sadin on is where the Sadin, so to speak, is coming into the turf of the Sukkah. And there, we don't apply the rule of Psul. That's another possible shot for Rabbeinu Tam, and again, that perhaps could be what Tos is driving at in his explanation of the Shitas HaGa'inim. The third interpretation, briefly, is quoted by Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Mishnayos. Just as we saw concerning a Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah, that you require 10 tfachim in order to be called the Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah, that Rabbeinu Tam holds, and perhaps this is what the Tais is also driving at within the Shitas HaGa'inim, that for a Sukkah Tachas HaIlan, or some kind of other Schach Pasul, you also need 10 tfachim.
This is against the understanding of the Marashah that we quoted earlier, that when it comes to a Sukkah Tachas HaSukkah, you require a gap of 10 tfachim in order for it to be Pasul. But when it comes to a Sukkah Tachas HaIlan, or Sukkah Tachas some other Schach Pasul, that you have no such requirement of there being 10 tfachim in order for it to be Pasul. So the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, at least within Rabbeinu Tam, is arguing on the Marashah. Getting back, and since here the Sadin, you don't have a gap of 10 tefachim between the sheet and the schach, so therefore it's not called a sukkah tachas ha something. So tachas ha'ilan, tachas ha sukkah. And therefore the only psul here could be the fact that it's schach posel, that's joining the schach kosher, and that Tosas already spelled it earlier, that the combination of schach posel with schach kosher we don't say, unless the schach kosher underneath requires the schach posel to make it kosher, because it's not enough schach of the schach kosher, but if there's enough schach kosher, it's silsim u'michamsa. So then, no schach puzzle is going to disqualify. And again, according to that shadow of Akiva Eiger, since you don't have the 10 tefachim, you don't have a case similar to a case of Sukkah Tachas HaIlan. One final comment. We mentioned that there's a blatant kasha on the view of the Ga'inim, which is asked by the Rosh. How could the Ga'inim directly imply that in a case of Chamsim Rumi Tzilsa, that if you put up the Sadin for Noi, it's kosher? It's only going to be puzzle if you put it up to shield from the sun or the leaves. But you don't have Silsim Rumi Chamsa, but Schach Kosher. So it's very interesting that, again, we quoted them earlier, the Rishonim will quote Rabbeinu Tam, whether it's the Sefer Yosher, or the Yireim, or the Or Zeruah, or the Smag, they all quote Rabbeinu Tam not as a similar pshat to the Gaonim, but as exactly equivalent to the Gaonim, or explaining the Gaonim. So according to that, when the Gaonim said it's Chamsa Rumi Silsa, they didn't mean literally that it's Chamsa Rumi Silsa. They meant
that it's going to become chamsim ruv mitzilsa as a result of the sun drying out the leaves or the leaves falling. In other words, exactly what Rabbeinu Tam said. That understanding of the Gaonim, although it works very nicely with the other Rishonim who quote Rabbeinu Tam, but it doesn't seem to match the presentation of Artosis, who seem to present them as two different views, and it certainly doesn't match the presentation of the Rosh, who asked on the Gaonim, and he said Rabbeinu Tam doesn't have that kasha. Again, the kasha on the Gaonim being that how could chamsim ruv mitzilsa be kosher when you put a sadin there, Linoi. So that's what the Rosh said doesn't make sense. For Rabbeinu Tam, they were actually dealing with Silsim Rav Michanta to start out with. So in a case where it's not going to fall, so then we understand that Linoi is going to be okay because it's a secondary to the Sukkah. So within that presentation of the Rosh and the simple reading of Artosis, that the Gaonim quite literally mean Chamsim Rav Mitzilsa. So here, the Karban Asanel explains, similar to what I quoted earlier from the Ran, explaining Rabbeinu Tam, that the Gaonim, of course, admit that if it's currently Chamsim Rav Mitzilsa, then nothing is going to kosherize it other than Schach Kosher. But the Gaonim is saying the following, that if the Sukkah was up first with Silsa Meruv Mechamsa, so then nothing is going to disqualify it, whether you put the sheet on for to protect from the sun, or you put the sheet on for Noi, it's all good. And why is it good? Because as we said earlier, because the Schach Kosher was built first, and the Sadin entered into the turf of the Sukkah, so therefore it's not going to disqualify the Sukkah. Sukkah says, don't tread on me. I'm already kosher, so I don't need you. But in the case of Chamsim Ruv Mitzilsa, so then the Sukkah didn't exist first in a kosher way. You didn't have a kosher Sukkah. So if you put up the shade to protect from the sun, so now you have a case of where the Sukkah is being disqualified or not qualified by the Pasul Schach. So what are you going to do now? You're going to now make the kosher Schach underneath kosher by adding more kosher Schach. It's too late. That's like a Sukkah Tachas Ha'ilan. A sukkah tachas a sukkah. Sukkah tachas a bias. It's too late. You already have the sikuch that's there already of the sadin that was silsim ruv mechamsa before you put the kosher silsim ruv mechamsa underneath. But if, on the other hand, you put up the sadin linoi for decorative purposes, that's not called a sikuch. It's not called an independent sikuch. It's there for decoration. So it doesn't qualify and kosherize a sukkah, but it doesn't disqualify it either. So then when you add in more schach below, so then it will be kosher. Quick summary to Tosfos. We have 2.5 perushim, according to some just 2, according to some 1, and then 2 subcases of what the case is of Chama and Seil. According to Rashi's pshat, Chama and Seil's kipshuto, we're dealing with Silsim Ruv Mechamsa, and you're trying to protect the sun and the leaves from affecting the ones who are sitting in the sukkah. According to Rashi, that's pasul, because it's called a shame, schach, and therefore it's schach pasul. Even the honest one also, it's for decorative purposes, it's not called schach, and therefore it's kosher. According to both the shita of Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim, that's not true. If you have silsim ruv mechamsa, and therefore you put out a schach to protect from the sun or the leaves, if there's nothing wrong with the silsim ruv mechamsa and it's not going to fall, etc., then it's totally kosher. The only time it's pasul is, according to Rabbeinu Tam's presentation, is when you're dealing with a case where the sun or the falling leaves is going to cause the schach that currently exists to become chamsim ruv mitzilsa, and you are preserving its current state via something that is makabel tuma, and therefore it is something along the lines of mamid, as we explained earlier, perhaps worse than mamid, and therefore it's pasul. According to the literal reading of the Gaonim, we're dealing with a case of chamsa meruv mitzilsa, and that's where it's pasul. And again, the way we said earlier, something the Gaonim didn't mean like Rabbeinu Tam. We're dealing with a case where if you put up the sadin to protect from the sun, so nothing's going to help to kosherize it later by then filling in the pasul schach. If, on the other hand, both according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim, if it's put up lena'osa, so then it's silsim ruv mechamsa according to Rabbeinu Tam as it is, and it's not being affected by the sun, so therefore the decorative sadin is not going to in any way affect it. As it is, it's kosher, and the sadin is not in any way doing anything to it. And according to the Gaonim, according to the view of the Karban Asanel, it's talking about where you put it up for noi, and then you filled in kosher schach underneath later, and that would kosherize it. La halacha, both of these views are recorded in Shulchan Aruch, with the view of Rashi, which the Bach points out is also the view of the Rambam, also the view of other Rishonim as well, that the Pshat is Kipshuto, and that the Mishnah Berurah points out is the main Deya. But then the Tor, surprisingly, and the Rosh, they all basically passing Rabbeinu Tam. Shulchan Aruch quotes that as a Yesh Omrim. So that's some interesting Nafka Minas, that if you have a case where it rained, and then it's now dripping into the Sukkah, so the Mishnah Berurah recommends from the Achronim that if you spread out a sheet underneath, some kind of shlak, that's going to prevent the drip from coming in, has to be within 4 tefachim, for a reason we're not getting to now.
So that you could sit in that sukkah without a bracha, and it would be better than sitting outside the sukkah, because that would be possible according to Rashi, but kosher according to Bein HaTam. Perhaps it should even follow, according to this, that if you have mamish a downpour, and then you put a shlak on top, some kind of cover that prevents the rain from coming in, so according to Rashi, it's for sure possible, but according to Bein HaTam, it should come out that it's kosher, and you could even make a bracha in such a sukkah, which is of course very unusual. Tyson of Beis Mar Aleph pointed out, why is rain considered a simon klal of a chag? If you have a simple solution of banging in the boards together. So he pointed out that can't be because that's kavua. So shouldn't we have a similar problem over here? How could you put out something on top to prevent the rain from coming in? So then why is it a simon kalala? So maybe, as Achronim suggests, they quoted the name of the Vilna Gaon in a different context, that when it's raining, it doesn't have a shame sukkah. So nothing that could do could help you. Even the Mishnah Brewer that spoke about rain, he didn't speak about a pouring rain. He spoke about where it rained and then there's dripping coming in. So there, perhaps, is a shame sukkah. And according to Bein HaTam, you can kosherize it by putting a sadan underneath to prevent the drips from falling on you, just as you could do that to prevent the leaves from falling on you. But Rashi, of course, would say it's possible, and therefore, bottom line, you certainly couldn't make a bracha. And Mishnah Berurah recommends that why not follow the Shittas of Bein HaTam to be able to perhaps get the mitzvah anyway.